baptism, that they enrich our life, they enrich our soul, and that in studying this gift of living in the divine will is the spiritual life, is the spiritual part, is the interior life of the soul. So we have to look at it in that way, is the interior life of the soul. And in order for us to understand that better, we have to look at the school of all virtues, which is the Blessed Mother. She is the school of all virtues. In her, by contemplating her, we can see that she possesses all the virtues. We can see exteriorly she was like any other woman. The Gospels, they don't tell us of any miracles about the Blessed Mother. And yet she possessed all the virtues. The Gospel tells us that she kept everything within her. So that shows us the interior part of the soul. Many of the saints like Saint Teresa of Avila, John of the Cross, these saints that they reach the mystical marriage of the soul. They spend many, many, many years contemplating, following this kind of life, sacrifices, penance, following the life of virtues. And by the grace of God, they reach that union with God. And we are all called to reach that perfection, because in heaven, every soul will encounter that mystical marriage with God. What happened with the souls of those saints is that they really gave their will. They used their will and their efforts to move that way. The Blessed Mother, by grace that she received this gift, she possessed within her all the virtues. We, by baptism, possess the three main virtues that are given to us. And the rest, it has to develop in us by surrendering our will. And by looking, by we have to see this again as the interior part of the soul, that we are moving towards the union with God, to attain union with God, the mystical union. And this is possible. I know that the modern world doesn't want us to believe this. It disqualifies those who are spiritual, or those who walk in this path. But this is exactly what the Book of Heaven is. And it begins with our Lord Jesus telling Luisa Picarreta about the virtues. So we've been talking about this, and she was formed into the virtues. Now that we know that these virtues are given to us in baptism, and the other ones, they have to be attained by repetition and the grace of the Holy Spirit assisting us and us giving our will constantly to God. And by following the example of the Blessed Mother, that she in herself possesses all these virtues. And that if we are her children, we have to become like her. And she wants us to be like her, to have all the virtues because this will bring us closer to her son Jesus. And this will bring the gift of living in the divine will in us, to reside in us. So it is the Blessed Mother's, the Blessed Mother has to be our example, because again, she is the school of virtues. Tonight I want to go to volume 19, March 9, 1926. In there, our Lord Jesus tells Luisa Picarreta about this likeness that Adam and Eve possess, the likeness that they possessed before the fall. In this passage, our Lord Jesus tells Luisa Picarreta the following. It says, man was supposed to love me. We constitute him king of the universe and the most beautiful jewel of our created hands. Within him, all was in order. This is very important. Within him, all was in order, because our will imparted to him the orders of his creator. It rendered him happy and made him grow in our likeness by virtue of our words. This is very important, because our Lord Jesus tells Luisa Picarreta that before the fall, everything within the soul of man was in order. So there was not disorder inside. Everything was in place. Everything was in place. So from this passage, we can say then that there was not envy in men. There was no jealousy. There was no lust, right? No grief. None of the seven capital sins, because everything was in order. What happened when Adam and Eve, they misused their will, their freedom, to depart from God? That order that was within them, right, disappeared. Now the soul had all these disorders that we know as the seven capital sins and more. So before the fall, everything within man, everything within the soul was in place, meaning that all the virtues were there. All of them, they were there, and they were being fed by this gift that they possess, the complete union with God. So at every moment, all the virtues, they were growing in, at every single moment. But since this happened, the fall of man, then this disorders within the soul happened. Now we have to, again, we have to bring orders. And God is the first one who initiates everything. In baptism, he brings these gifts in us. Right after the fall, he is the one who initiates the reconciliation, giving us the promise of the Messiah and redeeming us. So it is him who is always seeking us. But because we have this freedom, we have this freedom that he has given us and he respects so much, it requires from all of us to say yes in order for this gift to grow in us. And in order for that likeness to grow in us. In the Catechism of the Catholic Church, the Catechism tells us that the virtues, they make us more like God. They make us more like God. So we become more like He is as we grow in virtue. In volume 20, in December 12, 1926, the Lord tells Luisa Picarreta about the garment of light that the soul possesses before the fall. Many times the Lord, our Lord Jesus, compares this gift of the divine will with the sun, with light. But in this passage, the Lord tells Luisa Picarreta that this gift that Adam and Eve possess, that contain all the virtues, it clothed them with the light of the will of God. And these garments serve. This is what the Lord says. This sun, referring to the garment, this sun serves as a garment, not only for his soul, but its refulgent rays were so numerous that they also cover his body. Those who say that before sinning, Adam was naked are wrong, since he possessed this garment of light. He had no need of material garments to cover himself. But as soon as he withdrew from our divine fiat, so too did light withdraw from his soul and body. He lost his beautiful garment, and upon seeing himself no longer surrendered with light, he fell naked. Where do we receive the garment of light? In baptism, in the sacrament of baptism, as we are baptized, the priest has received the garment of light. This garment of light is received in the sacrament of baptism. And the Lord clothes us again with the virtues. So he initiates, he's the one who initiates in us. And it happens interiorly. The ontological change that happens in the soul, the indelible mark that happens in the soul is forever there, forever there. So when we are baptized, the change happens within the soul. It's at the spiritual level. You know, I have baptized many children and none of them have become something else after being baptized, right? It's not something like they change into a different creature in the sense of they look so much different, you know? But the change is ontological, is interior, is the mark, the indelible mark that happens in the soul. So when we look at this gift and we look at the union with God, we have to see the interior, aspect of our makeup, which is the spiritual part. So it is in baptism that we initiate, we begin this journey with God. And God gives us all this time, gives us the freedom to decide to walk with him the path of virtue, the path of the Ten Commandments. We talk about the Ten Commandments. To arrive to him. Because this is not something that it happens from one day to another. Many of the saints, well, I shouldn't say many, but some of the saints, you know, Saint Paul, he experienced his conversion in that revelation, but that was a gift also that God gave to him. But most of the time, God doesn't work like that with every person. So he initiates, he joins us to him in baptism, and then he gives us what we have, the Ten Commandments that we have been talking about in the past classes to the life of virtue. And now with all these revelations, like this of living in the divine will, or even other revelations that are approved by the church, that they all lead us into union with him. Because this is the goal of the soul, to attain that union. So it is also important for us to understand what was lost. What was lost? How Adam and Eve lived before the fall. So I invite you to write down this passage. Again, it's volume 20, December 12, 1926. And you can meditate on that, or you can read it during the week. And if you have questions about that, then we can discuss next week, or we can go through that. But that's a very important passage that tells us how they possess not this garment and this sun that covers them. Possess many rays, right? We can say all those were the virtues that just emanated from them. And they were all fed from that gift. The next passage I want to go tonight is from volume 25, March 31, 1929. And we have seen, right? We have seen the gift that they possess according to what our Lord Jesus tells to Luisa Picarreta, all the gifts that Adam and Eve possess, this garment of light that covered them before the fall. Now, our Lord Jesus in this passage tells Luisa Picarreta the illnesses that we acquire due to the fall, which we have been talking about, but I'm giving you this for your reference too. This is what our Lord says to Luisa Picarreta. If Adam had not sinned, the eternal word, who is the very will of the Heavenly Father, will have come to earth glorious, triumphant, and reigning, accompanied possibly by his angelic army, whom all were to see. And he was to come with the splendor of his glory to enthrall everyone and draw everyone to himself with his beauty, crowned as king with the scepter of command, so as to make himself king and head of mankind. He was to give souls the great honor of being able to say, we have a king who is man and God. Indeed, your Jesus was to come down from heaven, not to find men infirm, on account of having withdrawn himself from my divine will, but in a state where no illnesses of body or soul should exist. So this is important, because in the way God created us, he didn't intend for us to have illnesses of body or soul. We know the illnesses of the soul. We have been talking about them, all the sins, concupiscence and all of that. Those are illnesses of the soul. Before the fall, we didn't possess this, any of this. And what is the remedy for this? The sacraments. But the opposite of all these illnesses, these inclinations, speaking about the soul, the illnesses of the soul, how are we going to counteract all these illnesses? Is, of course, with the grace of God, but adhering to the Ten Commandments, which is the moral life, then to walk the path of virtue and to receive the divine medicine that flows from the sacraments, that they have the power to heal us. In the Catechism of the Catholic Church, when the Catholic Church talks about the sacraments, the Church describes the sacraments as powers that come from the body of Christ, that they have the power to heal us. And of course, baptism heals us from original sin. And we can look at all the sacraments, how they heal us. The sacrament of confession, the mercy of God is there, healing us, taking away our sins and bringing us back to him. So healing the soul, no? So this is what we have to have in mind, that while we are on this journey, it is the spiritual life. It is our soul. It is what matters the most. It is the soul that matters the most. And it is important for us to look at all these passages to see how God intended, for all of us to be well. That it was the human will that changed the course. It was the human will, the disobedience of man, who change the plan of God. That from the beginning, it was not intended for us to have any of these inclinations, any of these disorders of the soul. None of that. But it was the act of departing from the will of God that brought about all these infirmities, as the Lord tells Luisa Picaretta, all these illnesses of the body and the soul, that they were not supposed to exist in us. So, since we have inherited that, now we have to work our way towards God and to take the path of the Ten Commandments, the life of virtue, the sacraments, and to unite our sufferings to the sufferings of Christ, to offer ourselves to God the Father in union with our Lord Jesus. To have that understanding that is our Lord Jesus, that in the same way that if Adam and Eve, they make us depart from that union that we have with God, now is our Lord Jesus who brings us back. And it had to be someone who was perfect, both God and man, Jesus. And it had to be a woman who had all the virtues in her, somebody who was not spiritually ill. So that's the Blessed Mother. The Blessed Mother is the creature that didn't possess any spiritual illnesses. She is really the school of all virtues. She possesses within herself all the virtues, and she is our mother. So with more reason, we have to run to her and ask her to help us. As we study the gift of the divine will, to run to her maternal knees and ask her to teach us. And whenever you feel the inclinations, you know, of any of these illnesses of the soul, to run to the Blessed Mother and to ask her to present you before her divine Son. Because this is what she wants us to have. She wants us to possess what she possesses. She wants us to possess this gift. So we have such a beautiful mother, the Blessed Mother. We have such a beautiful and loving mother who is always with us. So we have to ask her. She's the school of all virtues. She has all the virtues within herself, and through her hands we can attain these virtues. Now I would like to go and to talk a little bit about the hours of the Passion, that during this time of Lent we have been meditating and we have been praying with some of the groups. They have been doing the Hours of the Passion in group, the Living Clocks. So I would like to go to volume 12, June 4, 1919. And in there, our Lord Jesus tells us a little bit about these effects that the hours of the Passion have every time that we meditate with the hours of the Passion and all the good that they bring. And even though we already know all the promises that the Lord gives to Luisa Picarreta in this different revelations, we have to have in mind that every time that we meditate with the hours of the Passion, we are bringing about the gift for which our Lord Jesus prayed. And the Lord Jesus tells this to Luisa Picarreta. Before I go to this passage, I want to share with you a little bit about another revelation that is very close to this revelation given to Luisa Picarreta. Is the revelation given to Maria Valtorta. And in that revelation given to her, our Lord Jesus gives Maria Valtorta the vision of his 3 years with the disciples. And actually, even before, he gives the vision of the Blessed Mother being born all the way till the resurrection and the assumption of the resurrection of our Lord, his assumption, and then the ascension into heaven of the Blessed Mother. But during the time of the burial, our Lord Jesus tells Maria Valtorta that it was the prayers of the Blessed Mother who made him rose from death. At that hour of the third day. And in that particular revelation, our Lord explains to her that in reality, he was only around 38 hours in the tomb, because he died on Friday around 3 o'clock. And he rose on Sunday morning. Sunday is the third day. So if you make the calculation that he died around 3 o'clock on Friday, and he rose on Sunday morning, that's less time. That's not 3 complete days. But the Lord says it was the prayers of the Blessed Mothers, because during all the time that I remained in the tomb, the Blessed Mothers, the creature who possessed no sin, believe and pray. And she brought the resurrection even sooner. It was the prayers of the Blessed Mother who brought the Messiah, the Word of God, to descend in her womb. It was her prayers that brought about the resurrection even faster, sooner. And now, the Lord says, these prayers, it is the prayers of those who love me and those who unite themselves to me, who will bring about the gift that was lost, the gift that Adam and Eve lost. It will descend faster. So it is very important that we see that now all the offerings, all the sacrifices, all the penance, all the sufferings that we go through in life, all our prayers, we have to offer those things for the coming of the kingdom. In the Old Testament, they offer sacrifices and, as I explained, the prayers of Blessed Mother, they brought about the Word of God to be incarnated in her womb, because they were waiting for the Messiah. Now we are waiting for the fulfillment of the Our Fathers, as our Lord Jesus tells Luisa Picaretta, that the whole book of heaven is a commentary on the Our Fathers, and is the prayer that our Lord Jesus taught his disciples. So our sacrifices, our prayers, have to be for the hastening of the kingdom of the divine will to descend first in our souls. Because remember, is the interior life. So many times we may think that this is going to be something that is going to be a massive event. But the kingdom of God begins within us. That order begins within us. As each one of us moving our will, uniting our will to the will of God. And I explained in the past also that during the holy sacrifice of the Mass, for you to be aware that you go to Calvary during Mass, that Jesus is offering himself to the Father, and you unite yourself to Jesus so that he may offer you to his Father. And the Blessed Mother is there. Because in the same way that Adam and Eve, they were present when we lost the gift, the new Adam and the new Eve, they are present in the reconciliation with the Father. In the same way that we were affected by the loss of the gift, we are also affected. We receive the grace from that offering, from that reconciliation. So, yes, for you to have that in mind. Let's go to this passage that our Lord talks about the hours of the Passion in volume 12, June 4, 1919. The Lord says the following. On the last day of my mortal life, I suffered the passion on behalf of all men, in which all injustice, hatred, mockery, revenge, and humiliation was mounted against me, was so intense that they reduced my poor humanity to becoming the opprobrium of all, to the point that I no longer look like a man. Wherefore I may call when two distinct passions, so souls provided the injustice and I complete the work of redemption in everything. This is again talking about the soul. The Lord says he suffered all injustices. He suffered everything. at that moment. He brought everything with himself and he paid to the fathers. When we go to Mass, he brings and you unite yourself to the Father, to Jesus in his offering to the fathers. He offers everything that you have, all your sufferings, all your joys, everything that you are, your whole self, he offers that to the fathers. But it's only through Jesus that the Father is able to see us. And it is, the key is us giving that will to Jesus to offer it to his fathers in there, in the hours of the passion. When we meditate with the hours of the passion, we are accompanying our Lord Jesus, doing what he was doing, repairing with him. So whenever you meditate the hours of the passion, remember that also the virtues in us are growing them. Because in the meditation of the hours of the passion, we see the humility of Jesus. We see the humility of Jesus. We see order in his life because he's obedient to the fathers. We see charity because out of love for all of us, he's going through that suffering. And we see his humility. We see everything in him. All the virtues can be seen in our Lord Jesus in the same way that we can see those in the Blessed Mothers. So whenever we meditate the hours of the Passion, we have to look for these two and to ask our Lord Jesus to give us that those virtues, to make us more like he is. Because in the hours of the Passion, we become more like he is too. We not only minister to him, but we also become like he is. He makes us like him. Because he is not an spectator. He doesn't want us to be only spectators. He wants us to do with him. And he wants to do in us. And the way he does it in us is by us giving him our will. So it is a relationship, an interior relationship, we can say, the soul with God. Us ministering to him and he transforming us into another Jesus. So in him we see all the virtues too, in the same way we see the virtues in the Blessed Mother, the new Adam and the new Eve, both full of virtue. The new Adam and the new Eve as they were before the fall. So that's something for you to keep in mind as you meditate with the hours of the Passion as well. The next passage that I want to read tonight is from volume 17, June 20, 1924. Again, volume 17, June 20, 1924. Let me find my passage here and then we can read. I wanted to read this passage because also in this passage, our Lord Jesus tells Luisa Picaretta how by possessing this gift that they possess before the fall, they all the virtues were perfected at every moment in them. In the life of the Blessed Mother, in the life of our Lord Jesus, we see the perfection won by nature in our Lord, and in the Blessed Mother by grace given to her. In Adam and Eve, before the fall, it was a gift that was given to them that we were supposed to possess, all of us. But since we lost it, now it's been restored by the new Adam and the new Eve. And the new Adam and the new Eve being both filled with virtue, imperfection, in all its perfection. The new children of the new Adam and the new Eve, which is us, have to be filled with these virtues as much as we can. At least we have to begin this process. And this is again what happens in baptism, that God begins this process. And it is up to us if we want to follow this path of virtue marked by the Ten Commandments, by the life of grace, the sacraments that God gives us. So the Lord says the following: for my will to come and reign in the soul must enclose within itself everything my humanity accomplish. Okay? In order for the will of God, in order for the will of God to come and reign in our soul, it says the soul must enclose within itself. Again, every time that we see within itself, within, is talking about the interior life of the soul. The interior life of the soul. The soul must enclose within itself everything my humanity accomplished. That Jesus being in his human state, as St. Paul says, he was able to go through. He was able to resist sin and not to give in to sin. He was able to be obedient. Only when my will reigns in the soul in a complete way will charity reach complete perfection in the soul. Only when my will reigns in the soul in a complete way will charity reach complete perfection in the soul. Because then by virtue of my will, everyone will be found loved, defended, and sustained, just as its creator loves, defends, and sustains the soul. This is very important. The next sentence: then all virtues will reach complete perfection because they will be nourished by a human, because they will be nourished not by a human life, but by a divine life. See? It says that only when this gift reigns in us, then charity, which is God himself, right? Which is God himself, living in us, then all the virtues will be nourished. Why? Because it will be God nourishing all the virtues, feeding all the virtues. This is what was happening before the fall. It was God living in man, in the soul, without any obstruction. Therefore, everything was in place, no disruption, because God was at the center. God was the foundation. God was free to reign in the soul. And that's why there was not illnesses in the soul, infirmities of the soul, as our Lord Jesus tells Luisa Picarreta, because it was charity reigning in the soul of man, which is God himself. And this is what we are called to attain through these writings, that charity at the foot, the foot of the cross, we can see perfect charity. The Blessed Mother giving her son, and our Lord Jesus giving himself to the Father out of love for all of us. It was only out of love for all of us, because Jesus didn't possess any sin. The Blessed Mother didn't possess any sin. But we can see charity in Calvary. Complete self-giving, charity reigning, the perfection of love can be seen in Calvary. And we can see the perfection of love from the Blessed Mother and our Lord Jesus. In the past, I have also told you that one of the important things that we have to keep in mind for us to be able to possess this gift is to really, really pray with our Father and to really pay attention with, to pay attention what our Father says. Forgive our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And we can see this again, perfect forgiveness, a tremendous amount of law at Calvary. Our Lord Jesus, forgive them. Our Lord Jesus says, forgive them. We have to forgive everybody. We have to forgive those who have done wrong to us and to pray for them. Because this is what our Father says. This is the commandment of Jesus. If we really want to possess these virtues in us and to possess this gift, which is God, what is the possession of the divine will? Is God living in us? Is love? Is charity reigning in us? And charity nourishing all the other virtues? Because charity is love, is God himself. So we want to bring God back into us, not to chastise him, but to retain him, and that he may expand our souls with every single act. But for that, this is necessary to forgive. So as we look at the hours of the Passion, we have to take all these little lessons that our Lord, he teaches us, and he does it himself. Forgive our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Father, forgive them because they do not know what they do. So, as you meditate the hours of the Passion, yes, look for these little lessons and relate them with the Our Fathers. How our Lord Jesus, by following Him in the meditation of the hours of the Passion, by looking at the Our Fathers, He is not only an spectator. He is not an spectator, and He doesn't want us to be spectators, but we minister to Him, and He ministers to us. He transforms us into Him. So it is the interior life of the soul that changes, and that relationship, that union with God is attained. And ultimately, when we go to heaven, we will experience in a more perfect way, in a perfect way, as much as we can, according to our capacity, we will experience that mystical union of the soul. And it will depend, that union will depend on what we have done here with the time with the time that God gives us and how we use our will. So tonight we are out of time, and I would like to close today. The class is give a couple of minutes. If there are some questions, comments related to the class tonight, I hope I didn't confuse you. So